What's up, everybody, and welcome to episode 270 of Two Amazon Sellers and a Microphone, brought to you by Solozo. And today's gonna be fun. We're bringing back one of our favorites, Brian Birch, the Chief Supply Chain Officer at Netrush, to talk about choosing the right 3PL. And Brian, we had so much fun talking to you last time. It was like a year and a half ago.
It was a while ago,
but anybody who wants to hear about Brian's incredible background, working at Amazon, now working at Netrush and everything in between, that was episode 166. So anybody can go back and check that out. Really cool story that he has. But Brian, thanks for coming back on.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, guys.
Oh, we are really pumped about this. I think 3PL, especially right now, choosing it. It's a big topic. Everyone's, you know, especially if you're in the middle part of your business where you've launched it, you've really been through the grind, and now you've got to expand with Amazon's inventory restrictions and everything else. Having the right partner in a 3PL is so critical and so important. And you might be the most knowledgeable person I've ever met in this space, and the most fun and cool to talk to. So
you said it perfectly there. Like, I've been around FBA and Amazon sellers for a long time, and some of the cool parts, and you guys talk about to all sorts of wonderful people about it, you know, marketing is cool, pay-per-click is exciting, finding new products, arbitrage, all that is cool stuff. You know, the tough stuff, and it's not so much fun, is that 3PL part. It's the supply chain, it's logistics. But man, when your margins are eroding every year, fees are going up, Amazon becomes more and more complicated, you need someone in your corner that can do all that stuff. You know, that 3PL, like, you've had some good episodes on here about, you know, why we need one and why you get one. But I think it's super important to talk about, like, how do you find them? Like, you can't swing a stick nowadays and not see a 3PL out there trying to sell you services. But what I think would be interesting today to talk a little bit about is, like, what do you ask, and like, how do you evaluate? You know, like, you know, if you're savvy about cars and you're going to buy a car, you know the right questions to ask. I'm hoping to help you guys with, like, what are the right questions to ask, and like, how do you peel back that onion a little bit to see, you know, what's a good partner for you?
And there's so many out there now. Everybody's spinning up a 3PL. Yeah. Amazon's got restrictions on inventory. It kind of gets overwhelming. You know, as a seller, you're like, what? Why can't I just sell stuff out of my garage? But at some point you grow so big, you're like, I need to get a warehouse. And I've had this thought myself, is like, why don't I just get my own warehouse, get my own employees? I can train them to do my processes. And then by the time I get to, like, train them to do my own processes, there's something in my mind that it's like stops. It's like, no, just hire somebody that knows what they're doing. Mm-hmm. They've already got the process in place, and just have them do it for you. That way you don't have to worry about the land, first of all.
Yeah.
The insurance you're gonna have to carry on that, the electric bills and all that other stuff that comes with owning a warehouse. Just get a 3PL and let them do it. But then you run to the questions, like, what do we ask? How do I get inventory? Like, what makes Netrush, you know, the source to go to? Like, what are we doing differently that maybe some other people are kind of missing the boat on?
Yeah, absolutely, man. You know, I just in the process of buying a new house, and me and my wife are, you're thinking about like putting in new cabinets, and you're thinking about, you know, like, you know, do some landscape in the backyard. And we constantly have this conversation of like, oh, I could do that. Like, I could build that. Like, I'm a little handy. And then I go, oh, it's not going to be as good. It's probably going to be more expensive. And I'm going to, you're like, you know, and
take
I
too longer
things I could be doing. Yeah. So it's the exact same thing with a 3PL, man. Like, you know, and some people think of it as just like moving boxes left or right, but there's so much to manage in a good warehouse. You know, like there's whole degrees now in supply chain management and warehouse operations and all this good stuff. So it's, you know, I love using analogies, but it's like going to WebMD and trying to diagnose yourself. Like, you know, you can do it. It's probably not going to look as good as going to a doctor, though. You know, like, let's keep to the experts, man.
Yeah, absolutely. Sure. And doing it yourself, there, I mean, obviously the limitation is scale. You can't scale or pull back. I mean, that's another limitation too. There's a risk involved in doing it yourself. Nobody wants to scale back and fire people, and nobody wants to not be able to scale up as fast as they want and make it work. But also the knowledge of, I mean, every single day, and we could touch on this sort of like what's a day in the life of Brian look like at NetRush. But I mean, every day you guys are optimizing and making everything more efficient and understanding strategies of reducing costs for shipments in and reducing, you know, storage fees that you would get charged by Amazon. And so I think you're right about that. Not to mention all the other things that a 3PL can really help scale was like inserts, or how does the packaging look when the customer receives it, and how can that really make a massive impact on the overall customer satisfaction and repurchasing. So, you know, why don't we just start with Chris and I, we're looking for a 3PL. What are the main things that we need to be looking for and asking to make sure it's the right fit for us?
You know, what's great is, and you could not have segued that any better. Like if I'd planted like a segue in for you, I would have like wrote that exactly, because the very first thing, and you just mentioned it, is capabilities. What can the 3PL do? So when you start searching for a 3PL, what you're going to find is a lot of them are very specialized. Some of them do business to business very good, meaning shipping to big box stores like Costco or Target or Walmart. And some of them do direct to consumer incredibly well. A lot of them won't even touch Amazon because they're not the easiest company to get into and work with. So the first thing I ask is, what are the capabilities? Can they do Amazon? So do they do FBA? Do they do SFP? Do they do, you know, all the different Amazon acronyms? Can they do that and do that well? Obviously, for a lot of your clientele, a lot of your audience here, that's probably going to be one of the biggest questions and foremost is like, how do they integrate with Amazon? What does that look like? But another huge push, and I'll drop a little side note here, I'm doing a webinar in a couple of weeks with NetRush on direct-to-consumer shipping. Been a huge push in the industry, gives you a lot more control over the experience. I love Amazon, worked at them, you know, like, but Amazon controls all the Amazon stuff. So when you start doing direct consumer, you get a lot of good stuff out of it. But a lot of 3PLs either dabble in it, don't do it, or, you know, if you're lucky, do it very well. So look for Amazon, look for direct to consumer, look for business to business, because as your brands grow, you want to be able the opportunity to do everything under one roof. So what's fabulous about a 3PL that can do different capabilities like that is you have one pool of inventory then, and you can make decisions at the last possible second of where you want that inventory to be. You know, we still haven't quite righted ourselves after COVID, and inventory levels are still sometimes feast and famine. Being able to make decisions at the last possible second allows you to make better decisions of where you want to be selling your stuff. So also ask some questions about like kitting and bundling. I know you guys have had some fantastic speakers on here about opportunities there, but a lot of 3PLs don't do it, or like, you know, like a little iffy there. You mentioned some great things like with inserts and samples. See if they can get that into your products, whether it be FBA, whether that be direct to consumer. All of these are just great opportunities that if you can find one 3PL that does all of these capabilities, man, you've hit a home run there. So that's the very first question I would ask a 3PL is like, what are your capabilities?
How fast does it take to get up and going on something like that? Like if I find somebody, let's say I want to use you guys, use our own team, no, the one thing that I got fear of is like, okay, I hand you the keys, but the processes are still having hiccups. Like we still have mistakes. How long does it take to get up and going?
I'm laughing because, man, you guys, you're professionals at this, because like that's my number two thing I was going to talk about is like measures of success, key performance indicators. And the very first one is that service level agreement, is that cycle time of your product. So for onboarding a new customer, it really, I always hate to answer this like with it depends, but it depends on the level of IT integration that you want. You know, a good 3PL is going to be able to offer like EDI and IT integrations that allow maybe your WMS and our WMS to talk and synchronize really well so that orders flow left to right. Other 3PLs go a more manual route where you have to log onto some form or onto some website and you put orders in there. So depending upon your level of integration, it can take like literally it can take minutes You sign a few papers and we're ready to go. If it requires more IT integration, like you have a more sophisticated kind of operation and you want that flow of information, it can take a little longer. It also kind of depends on the systems you use versus the systems the 3PL uses. Some of them integrate, like literally they're Snap-on, like literally just integrate perfectly, where some require some sort of mediator. And I always hate getting into this discussion because I can barely spell IT, let alone like worry about these integrations. And my whole IT department is always cringing when I talk about it. But it really, from a physical perspective, though, like, man, you sign paperwork and we, you know, a good 3PL should be able to start almost immediately receiving your inventory. But back to the original discussion is those key performance indicators. Like, I love asking a new 3PL, like, how do you measure success? Like, leave it open like that. And so if they're not talking about things like cycle time, if they're not talking about things like on-time delivery, inventory accuracy, customer-facing defects, that type of stuff, like, run away, because they're not measuring their business then and they're not owning those results. So those are the biggies that we, you know, kind of measure ourselves on and that we routinely feed back to our brands that use our 3PL services is, first and foremost, what is that SLA, service level agreement? Like, you give me an order, for example, in direct-to-consumer shipping, we ship everything same day. There are some 3PLs that'll talk to you about delivery promises, but don't talk about internal cycle time promises. So the customer only cares about how long it takes from when they push that you know, order me now button to when it shows up on their doorstep.
Right.
Well, if it's 3 days of internal cycle time for me to get the product out and 3 days deliver, 6 days, man, people are rioting these days if they don't get something.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
6 days. So always ask them about that. Like, when I give you an order, how fast do you turn that around? Because that's your total cycle time and that's what the customer cares about. And through all of that, if the 3PL isn't talking about your end customer, that's another like red flag, like run away. Like, they should be as excited to deliver your stuff as you are. And so you got it. And there's an intangible there about like some passion and some like go and get it type behavior. Cause, unfortunately I've worked with some 3PLs that just, you know, they don't care as much. And that always worries me because that's my brand. That's my stuff. And the customer doesn't care that you're using a 3PL. That's you. You know, the 3PL is an extension of your supply chain. And God bless you for farming it out. I think it's a smart move, but man, you got to pick the right partner. So
it's interesting because I was unclear about what's the definition of cycle time until you just eloquently stated it. But I mean, I was thinking of all the other because cycle time, clearly that is huge. If you get an order, it's got to go out. Like you said, the customer, if it says 2 or 3 day shipping, they need it in 2 or 3 days. Yeah. But then I'm sure there's other areas like that. Like, what's your receiving time? Like, if we send in stuff, how long does it take before it's ready to be picked and packed? You know, what does it look like? How on top of it are you in replenishing Amazon's inventory? Do I need to be in charge of that and directing you? Or are you coming to me? Are you integrated with my Amazon account where you're saying, you know, we'll manage this, you know, we'll make sure that we're keeping your inventory replenished? I mean, so are those other questions that need to be asked as well?
Absolutely. So I think you hit on some great ones there about inventory management. There are some folks that love being in charge of that, like really want to control how much goes in and where it's going. But to your point, Dustin, as well, some folks like being told, like, here's the replenishment cycle that we need. Those that can do inventory management like that, that's a wonderful add-on and a great question to ask. Like, who's driving the bus here? Like, you know, who's making those decisions and when are they being made? And if your 3PL isn't asking those questions, again, it shows the level of like sophistication of, you know, of that organization. So yeah, that's an absolute great one. One that we get asked more and more frequently, and I love, is, and it seems like a weird one, and that maybe you're peeking behind the curtain a little bit, but I think it's super important, is what is your labor plan? It ain't easy to hire folks these days, and it's even tougher to keep them there and keep them happy. So if you ask your 3PL like what their labor plan is and you hear like crickets in the background, that's another scary thing. Like, they're not thinking about like, what if? Like, what if I get 60% of my people to show up today? what if, you know, like a snowstorm hits and like no one comes to work? Like they should really have a well thought out labor plan, whether that's temp workers, whether that's automation in terms of like conveyance and things that help folks out, whether it's like robot integrations. Some of those things are expensive and you're, you know, you might, it requires a level of sophistication from a 3PL. But those are things that you're really looking for, because what you don't want is for your 3PL to have a bad day and your customers pay for it.
Yeah. Birch, if I remember correctly, we went through this during COVID, if I remember correctly, where all of a sudden we still had orders coming in, but the warehouse was kind of missing some people. Is that right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think, you know, COVID taught us a lot of things, but this labor planning, I think, is probably the most important thing, because if you are 100% human labor dependent, that worries me a little bit. Like, you know going into it that you are, but also know that you know, things happen to humans and you know, life happens and you're not going to, it's not as dependable as things like automation and robotics and whatnot, that, you know, they're going to work 24/7. You know, there is downtime, but it's highly dependable, you know? And so I love that question about when someone asks me that, I'm like, oh God, thank you. You know, like, give me an opportunity to show you like all of the interdependencies that we've created. And we love our people. We absolutely think they're a treasure, but we also look at ways to make their jobs easier, for things to go faster. And for, you know, God bless you, you want to take some time off, go take some time off and enjoy your life. Like, this place will keep running, you know, like you got to think about that when you're approaching your 3PLs.
Well, I certainly would want a happy person packing and shipping my package out. Yes. You know, someone who wants to be there and, you know, takes pride in what they do. But on that note, not too long ago, maybe it was a year ago or so, we got to see like a virtual tour of the facility and got to see all the people. I mean, I was fascinated. You know, sometimes you have a picture in your head of what like a warehouse or a fulfillment center looks like. And I was shocked. I mean, clean, everybody's having, I mean, you could tell the employees are having so much fun. You have all, you know, you can see they had like spirit wear on and different shirts, and they're showing their,
I forget the shirt name, but one guy had a shirt on that was hilarious.
It was amazing. But you could tell that they were, that it was a fun environment. They really enjoyed working there. But also to see the size, and the capabilities, and you almost took us on a journey of like, you know, from an order, kind of walking through where the product went and got on the truck to get out of there. I mean, you guys, I mean, it's amazing what you've built, and I really enjoyed seeing that, and I know that you're proud of it as well.
You know, I always joke, and I whenever anyone asks about like, you know, warehouse and stuff like that, I was like, have you guys ever read or saw an article or anything about a happy warehouse or how great it is to work in a warehouse? You know, it's like, no one, everyone shakes their head. It's like, you know, all you hear about is how dark and how metrics driven and, you know, just horror stories of certain warehouses out there. And one thing, I do take great pride in the team here. One thing that when we built this from the ground up, the one thing I said is I want to be different in the industry. You know, warehouse work is tough. I you know, it is physical work, but I want everyone to be as included, to feel safe, to feel like part of something. And, you know, if at all possible, to have some fun at work. Like, you know, we're not dancing and singing over here. It's not like a Disney cartoon, but like it's, you know, I start with fundamental respect for people. And know that you're humans and you matter. And like, we do crazy things. Like, we allow cell phones on the floor because they're such an integral part of like who we've become and who we are. And God bless, you need to communicate with your family. Like, let's do that. And if you have to take a phone call, go take a phone call. Like, it's not a big deal. Like, step away, be respectful, but like, you know, live your life. Like, I think we've learned, especially over the last few years, of like how interconnected work and life and all of that is. And people are putting a much bigger, you know, emphasis on that balance. So yeah, we start here with a lot of culture and try to build that into everything that we do. And so I'm glad you guys saw it. It was kind of fun.
Well, that keeps the morale up too. Like, absolutely. That kind of graze over it, but I mean, that is something where you start taking away things, and you may not think a lot of it now, but one of my shows I like watching is like Undercover Boss. Uh-huh. And a lot of times they don't even realize they've done something that the employees just hate. And to your point, that's one of them, is like letting them use their cell phone whenever they need it, keeps the morale high, keeps people happy, keeps them doing their jobs. They don't feel like they're restricted and,
yep,
you know, following this like 1, 2, 3 step process the entire time. They can actually do something, yeah, which is nice.
You know, and Dustin, I think you hit on a really good point there, is like the, and it's hard to ask this because everyone probably says they have a great culture or like they're a wonderful employer, but man, you know, knowing that your 3PL like treats people with respect and has a good culture and like really cares about what they're doing, man, that means a lot. Like, I think Chris, you said it, like, I want someone happy packing my boxes. Yeah, you can probably, you can Google and YouTube all the funny, you know, packing, like this stuff, like, yeah, I'm weird and I do that. But like, you know, like an angry packer doesn't, you know, like, that's not a good thing. Like you're going to get a crappy box and it's going to be broken or damaged or something weird, you know, like folks that care about what they're doing and put some real effort into it, man, that makes a world of difference.
I know we're kind of just spitballing and it's, I think of these questions I want to ask them, but
bring it.
What's a good brand? Like, when is a good time for a brand to get a 3PL? Like, we're selling on FBA, you know, we're just shipping stuff straight to Amazon. But at some point, there's going to be a time where brands need like a 3PL. And it's not just for Amazon, maybe it's for their own e-commerce store. But like, when do you see that happen with brands? Like, when all of a sudden they have to have a different strategy than just send everything to Amazon FBA?
Yeah. The first question I tend to ask people is like, what is your superpower? Like, what are you great at? You guys know this because you talk to so many Amazon sellers. Like, there's very few out there that have everything, you know, in their toolbox. Some of them are great at finding the right products. Some innovate new products. Some are incredible at marketing and paperclip and all these other things. Like, the first thing I tend to want to hone in on is like, what aren't you doing because you're focusing on supply chain? And if they think about that, like, holy wow, like all of this stuff I'm pouring my efforts into, where I could be going back to what my superpower is and just doubling down on that. So generally speaking, and to answer your question a little more directly, I don't think there's an exact moment when, I can't tell you like number of units or whatever, but there tends to be a tipping point though. And you just know it. Like it's like, how do you know when you're in love? You just know. Like, you know, I'm not saying, you know, 3PL in love, but like, you know, it's kind of close.
Great feeling.
Yeah. You know, but it's, you know, like I've been a seller, you guys been sellers. Like you start to feel it when everything starts to like bulge, so to speak, like you've outgrown your house and you've outgrown this and you're spending more time focusing on putting labels on a box than finding that next great product or marketing and getting the most potential out of your current ones. Like, you know, and we've had clients come in here and we've actually had a conversation with them, like saying, you probably don't need us right now. Like go back in your garage. Like we're probably not a good fit right now, but come talk to us in the future when you start to grow and build that out, you know?
And you're doing more than just FBA, right? We're doing e-commerce, we're doing Walmart everything. Maybe.
Okay. And that's the beauty of working with a good 3PL. Like for us, we can get you, we're FBA experts. That's our DNA. That's where we grew up. Like we know it left and right. Like we got contracts like Amazon Transportation. Like look outside of our building and there's Amazon branded trucks pulling up and taking our stuff directly into a cross dock. So like we do, and that's actually a huge, huge, huge opportunity is transportation. Everyone just kind of clicks that use Amazon preferred method and ships it on its way, not really thinking about that bottom line. But when you use a 3PL, especially a bigger, more sophisticated one, they're aggregating a lot of freight and can use different methodologies of getting it to Amazon FBA specifically. And it'll cost you pennies versus the dollars you're spending now. And when you don't want to talk about pure profit plays, like to your bottom line, every penny you save on transportation, man, it's right into your pocket. Like it's such a huge opportunity. And no one really thinks about it. Like I'm in supply chain and sometimes I don't think about it. Like I have a fantastic like group that works with me, great transportation team. And they're always looking at ways to make that cheaper, faster, better, stronger. Because it's one of those wary areas where you don't realize you're leaving money on the table.
So I got a question on that. That savings of basically inbound transportation to Amazon that you're by aggregating this and shipping it in, can that I mean, does that get close to like the fees that are we would be paying for using you? I mean, because that if that's the case,
yeah,
to me, like size of the business, everything else almost doesn't matter. It's like if I can, if this can be a wash or close,
yeah,
it makes sense.
It is absolutely huge. So we've got a new product coming out. It's about transportation analysis. And it's an opportunity for us, especially if you're doing like a lot of either Amazon shipments, if you're doing a lot of D2C, like, man, shipping individual items is expensive. Like Amazon's turned it into an art form, but there's a lot of ways to save money if you can aggregate volume. You know, transportation is all volume based. Like the more volume you have, the cheaper it becomes. And when you go to a 3PL that can aggregate a lot of that, whether it is D2C or direct to Amazon or any of that, like, man, the savings really add up. To your point, like we've done some analysis with some companies who do some decent amount of D2C. We're able to save the money and make it faster. Like it's like a like no brainer. Like you're saving money in that process going straight to your bottom line. Plus we're getting it to your customer faster than your typical promise is today. So it's,
one thing that happens a lot is the lost inventory that we were talking about Amazon does is like all of a sudden you ship some stuff in and 500 units go missing. How does a 3PL handle that? Because that's going to be a lot different than, you know, Amazon to say, okay, here you go, here's the sale price, yada yada, here's your money. Like what's a 3PL? They got to be on the hook for something there.
That's a wonderful question to ask any 3PL that you might be looking at out there.
Very
good sophisticated ones are going to have solutions for you. Whether it's some sort of proprietary software or partnering with other folks out in the industry. I'm sure you guys know a bunch of them out there that help with that. But they your 3PL has to be very good about, so if they, for example, if they're doing LTL or FTL full truckloads to Amazon, like really making sure they get BOLs signed and back to you, having proof of deliveries, that type of thing. Because you guys know it from opening cases with Amazon, God bless them, but they don't make it easy. You know, they ask for lots of documentation, you know, like we literally even have like cameras on our dock doors of like when things depart, like we can literally show videos of things. So, I mean, there are levels of sophistication that you can get on Amazon and in dealing with Amazon. My favorite one is we've got some conveyance systems in place that really help us get FBA products out very fast. But we use the exact same technology that Amazon uses to get dim weights, dimensions and weights for our outbound boxes. And we literally have a camera like right there. And so when Amazon says, hey, you have a over 50 pound box come in, we're like, oh, did we? Here's video using your same technology with that exact box that says we didn't. Now, we don't always win that case because, you know, Amazon's Amazon, but like it's wonderful to have processes in place because we can also think like they think. Like we know how they act, so we try to protect our stuff and your stuff as much as humanly possible. So yeah, it's Amazon is an amazing opportunity, but it's also it's a difficult world to navigate in at times. And there's so many things you can do these days, man. You guys have been around a long time. Like I remember 10, 15 years ago, like there was like literally was click and ship and there was not much to it. And now there's so many new tools and so many new programs and so much stuff out there that if you're not in a particular discipline full time, you're missing stuff, you know?
For sure. What is it a good question to ask to go visit the 3PL? Oh,
absolutely. And if they balk at that, run away. Like I love having visitors in our building. And my decree is we're always visitor ready. Like I would love anyone to come knocking on our door and let's, hey, come take a tour. We're absolutely ready. You know, we're a full functioning warehouse, but man, I call it Disneyland. Like we're open 24/7. You come see us. Like the tour is not as exciting, but man, we take a lot of pride in what the place looks like, but absolutely. You know, I think of it like a bank, man. That 3PL is holding your inventory, is distributing it for you, man. You're putting a lot of trust in them. Like you wouldn't just, you know, find some random bank and throw your money into it, man. I hope you don't. Like you do your research and know which one you want to bank with. Like that's the same level, man. And if you can go in person and see it, that's even better. Like it's hard to hide inefficiencies and people not caring. Like you'll get that sense right away. Absolutely.
One thing, just coming from personal experience, is like if I want to get a warehouse that is like FDA approved or, and I don't know what I'm talking about here. So USDA approved or FDA approved. where I want my items picked out of a box and then put into a bag, but they have to be like, you know, gloves on, hairnets on, stuff like that. Is that common with 3PLs? Like, do they have divisions for that?
Yeah, absolutely. And there are lots of certifications out there in the industry. I could probably bore you to death with some of them, but your big ones are FDA, and that's obviously Food and Drug. It's all about like SOPs. Do you have written procedures? Do you have cleaning processes in place, sanitation, pest control? Like, again, I could bore you to death with this stuff.
Yeah.
FDA, you have CGMP, certified good manufacturing processes. That's a higher level than FDA, and it's tough. Like, and you're honestly probably going to pay a little more for that premium because they're doing a lot of stuff that gets them. And there's books and books about CGMP certifications. There's an industry called ISO that does certifications as well too. That again, it's really focused on SOPs and whatnot. So good question to ask, but only ask if it's important to you. If you're doing hard goods and you know, FDA doesn't mean a heck of a lot to you. But yeah, I think that's an interesting one. One I can dovetail on that one, though, is about growth. I haven't seen an Amazon seller out there that doesn't want to grow and expand. Ask your potential 3PLs about, like, what growth potential do you have? You know, I don't want to, again, peer behind the curtain and know exactly how many pallet spaces you have open right now. But, like, you know, share with them. I plan on a 2X increase next year. How do you handle that? And again, if they stutter or, like, blink or hear crickets, like, they're not thinking about the future as well, too. You know, there are all sorts of ways to have contingency plans around growth, whether it's internal and you've got literally extra space, or you can go vertical, or you can do different things. Or is it, you know, does your 3PL partner potentially with other warehousing solutions? You know, there are lots and lots of great nodal based warehousing 3PL solutions out there that can grow upon demand. And so, again, I don't think there's a right answer to that question, just that they've thought about it and can articulate, like, yes, we're thinking about growth as well, too, because I want to expand with your business.
What about pricing? What should a customer or client expect to be charged for? Yeah. And what should they definitely not be being charged for?
Yeah. I smile because it is a whole, or we could probably have a whole podcast on 3PL pricing. Not many people would probably show up because it's not that exciting, but it is super in depth. So first and foremost, what I would ask is, Let me give them an example. Like, here's my last FBA shipment. What would you charge me? And just let them come back to you. Because typically what you're going to see in a 3PL world is a rate card. And a rate card is about as exciting as reading like stereo instructions. They're detailed. They're like a page long. And they tell you about every single step and every single charge. Now, the reason 3PLs do that is they actually are trying to be favorable to you. So if your product's easy to receive, like say you're doing case in and case out, meaning a full case comes in and we're just going to ship a full case out to Amazon, that pricing should be different than like a D2C shipment. Because D2C shipment comes in as a case, probably goes out as an each, and there's individual like packaging and stuff that goes on with that. So the 3PL is really actually trying to be helpful by giving you this big long rate card because it's going to tell you about the receive charge and the different types of receive. So is it an each receive, meaning I open up every box and I examine every item? That's going to be more expensive than a case or a pallet receive where I'm not doing that. But when I, you know, and there's going to be a pick fee, there's going to be a pack fee, there's going to be some sort of transportation fee, and there's going to be some sort of storage fee. And if this doesn't all sound very familiar, that's all the stuff Amazon FBA charges you for too. Now they lump it together a little better. And some 3PLs do that. They have like a one kind of cost for that entire process. But I'll be honest, I prefer 3PLs that break it out because then you can see the level of detail of what they're doing. And if they don't have a good accounting structure back to you, meaning you don't get a really good invoice at the end of the month about exactly what you get charged for, again, a huge red flag there as well. So not only should you ask about the cost up front, and like I said, you're probably going to get a big long price sheet, which is great because it gives you the level of detail that you might need. But I also love giving them examples like, okay, here's a shipment that I just recently did. Tell me if, you know, if you received it, if you picked it, if you packed it, if you shipped it, what's the total cost of that? Because, you know, to your point, like if it's cheaper for you to do it and you've got that capacity to do it, you might not need that 3PL yet. But if you think about that outsourcing, does that free you up to do other things, or is that 3PL actually doing it cheaper and faster and better and stronger for you? That's a huge win there. So yeah, costing is, like I said, it's a whole different world. Like I said, there's some 3PLs that are doing like a one cost for everything. But you know, and what I always tell folks is that as a 3PL, like, we've got to be a growing, strong business. As an Amazon seller, you've got to be a growing, strong business. And if our rate cards and your appetite to pay doesn't match, like, that's okay. Like, we're not at a good place right now. But a lot of times it does work out, and we get, you know, really great partnerships. That's, you know,
a lot of the stuff we've been talking about kind of goes towards smaller products. Maybe like, you know, they can go in a shoebox, or they can ship, you know, priority. What happens with like oversized products? How do we handle giant 55 gallon drums of whatever? Like what does that look like for oversized products?
Yeah. You know, first and foremost, we were just talking about cost. It will be more costly. Mm-hmm. You know, it's literally, it's handling, it's storage, everything about it is bigger. And so you know that you're going to pay a premium for that. To get it into a building in terms of transportation, to get it through a building, whether you're doing it direct to consumer, whether you're doing it business to business, whether you're shipping it in Amazon, like, it is all more expensive. And anyone that deals in oversized, like, they're like, no kidding. Like, we already know that. But you got to keep that mentality of like, this is, you got to have the right price point, the right margin for it. A good 3PL is going to have kind of a segregated area and specialized processes for oversized items. You know, they don't go on conveyance very well. They don't, you know, typically, you know, robot can't pick them very well. Like, they're it's relatively manual solutions, but there's lots of ways to make, you know, all those conveyance and robotics, that's goods to people technology, not to get too much into the warehousing speak here, but like that is bringing stuff to people so people don't have to go get it. What you're talking about is people to goods now. Like, how do I get someone onto a giant pallet of, you know, cargo holders and you know, car cargo holders, and like, how do I make it efficient for them? So if they allow you in, God bless them. Cause like, then you get to see, like, have they thought about how to process the stuff and efficiencies? If you don't see that thought process behind it, again, it's, you know, you want to see some professional, you know, behaviors behind the 3PL to really make you think they're always thinking about efficiency. So to answer you, hopefully I answered your question, Chris.
You got it.
It's about getting people there, about having the right technology involved with it. So for example, like, mobile stations are absolutely fantastic for oversized product. So if you can get a station that literally can go to the product, you can do all your scanning, you can do all your labeling all right there. That's an incredibly efficient way for that solution. And it's also like an incredibly humane way, because like, then there's less lifting, there's less dragging, there's less everything. Like, people are happier when you give them better ways to solve these problems. So
you haven't missed a beat on every question we've asked. You have an answer pretty quickly.
Oh yeah.
Tell us what's happening in the future here. You were kind of talking about it earlier before we went live, but there's some cool things coming down the pipeline. What are some of those?
Absolutely. So if you hit us up on LinkedIn, netrush.com, you're going to see a really cool announcement. We've been super proud about this. It's been, I'm kidding, because it's been 9 months. And Chris, I think you know that 9 months work pretty well here now.
Good segue.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It took us about 9 months working with a fantastic company called BrightPick, leading robotics manufacturer, primarily in Europe. And their DNA is just amazing, very forward. They not only intertwine robotics, they do vision systems, they do AI learning, like these. And the punchline is, and this is what we announced on LinkedIn yesterday, we've got a collaboration with them. They're installing their first North American full-based system in our facility right now. So we've got robots running around. And what's super cool is you can walk out on the floor and actually like watch them learn. I know I'm probably putting that in my head, but like they are AI driven, and they learn how to pick in the slot and do all this stuff. So super excited to announce that. Not only are they cool and like cutting edge technology, but like it, again, it's that labor planning. Like, we start everything with our culture and our people, but we also want to make their jobs easier. So what these robots do, and you can click on those LinkedIn or look up on BrightPick's website, like, they've got all sorts of different solutions. One we're implementing right now is primarily pick based, and it goes, if when you receive product, you put it into a tote, you're going to scan that tote, and the robotic system then knows what's in that tote. It's going to then go slot it into very organized bin structure. And then when there's demand for it, our system talks to that Bright Pick system. It then picks that tote, brings it to a person. They pick it, and there's like a beautiful little interface there. It tells them exactly what to pick. They pick it from one bin to another, and then it goes off into a packing process. So they've actually got some more cool cutting edge technology, and they actually have a lab here. So I'm always joking, like I want to sneak over there and get some of the better, cooler tech. But it's really exciting stuff, like, you know, super cutting edge.
That's pretty cool. We got to get out there, Chris, and take a tour. And I got to see these robots. And
it's cool. Like, I'm geeky and in this world, and it excites me, but it's cool just to see the level of technology. Yeah, even like the vision systems they have working on, you guys travel a lot. So when you're going through like airport security and the really cool like ones that'll take your backpack in and like virtually move it around and like scan, it has that like same, I think it's the same technology. They'll probably, but it looks like it to me, like it looks at the bin and like can dimensionalize it, know what's in there. And then you can actually see like the arm go in and like pick it. And it's absolutely amazing. Like, it's cool stuff.
We're coming out there. We're coming out there, and we're going to do a live podcast from
there. I love a good warehouse tour, actually. Well,
and I think the Bengals and
you're right.
I think it's here. I think it's here.
Oh my gosh. I guess they may have announced the NFL schedule.
Yeah,
at least parts of it today.
Yeah, I thought I saw that they were playing. What a great time, you know?
Well, that'd be great. I mean, that's a win-win. I get to see the Chiefs win, and I get to see a cool warehouse. That'd be amazing. Yeah. We'll definitely do that. But you've also got a webinar. We touched on this earlier. Yes. Webinar coming up. We'll make sure that anybody who wants to register for that, we'll put the link in the show notes so people can register for this. But you want to give us a little sneak peek of this?
Yeah, it's what you're talking. It's cool. You can tell I got some passion around supply chain, and I try to make it fun and entertaining. But like, most people think of it as just like literally moving a box left to right, or, you know, shipping an item. And what this topic is going to peel back a little bit is the really amazing opportunity you have to interact with your customers through your supply chain. And we hit on some of them earlier. Customized packaging is absolutely cool. Like, you know, when you get a really cool package on your front porch, like it adds to some excitement and to some like wow factor when you're opening it. When you open it up and the presentation is just spot on, like it's thoughtful and in the right spot. When they provide you like literature and information and inserts or samples that actually have meaning to you and that you can use, that's another amazing opportunity. And there's all sorts of other technologies out there that allow you to interact with your customer and then get valuable insights about who they are, how they interact with your products, how, you know, consumption rates and all this. Again, I love Amazon and love FBA, but one of the reasons Amazon is so great at what they do is they've got all that data, and they ingest all that data, and they use all that data. And I'm telling you, nothing new. The world is about data these days. And so owning your direct-to-consumer experience not only allows some incredible customer interactions, but it allows you to be the owner of that data and really be able to consume it, use it in a way that makes your products better. And so That's the whole webinar is all about, is supply chain is not just about moving things. It is about how you interact with your customer.
Well, you're spot on about Amazon doing that. I mean, that's the only way I find out like what the new Amazon Prime TV show is that's coming out, because it's usually on like the tape that the box is in. But just, in that vein, think of the cool things you can do for your brand if the packaging, you know, it makes getting it more exciting. It showcases, like you said, I think samples is a big one. I think there's a lot of opportunity there to throw in a small sample of a complimentary product. You know, how can we upsell them on the next order? So many. Yeah, everyone should tune into that. We'll be watching for sure, because I really want to see everything that's going on with that. But
it's a fun topic, like I said, to start with. Most people just think about it as delivering goods, but there's so much more to it. And, you know, it's when you start thinking about all of the cross opportunities there. And that's why I love the world we're in, and NetRush and Solozo and all of us here is like, you know, I'm passionate and I own kind of that supply chain world. And you guys own a lot of the marketing and pay-per-click and all of this fantastic stuff. But realizing how all intertwined it is. Very. Like, and being having teams of experts who really know their stuff. Man, it's invaluable. And because we've become so specialized and there's so much to do in this e-commerce world, like no one knows it all anymore. You know, like back in the day, I could mess around with a lot of this stuff and feel pretty good. Now I'm like, oh my God, I don't even know what that is. Like, you know?
Things go so quick. Things change so fast now. Yeah. Like yesterday is old news. Like it's so fast. You got to be ready for it.
Absolutely. And that's, you know, supply chain's the same world too. There's so many things that change. And like, I think I keep on top of it. And someone asked me like, what about this? And I'm like, I Google it and I find it. I'm like, oh, holy, there's something new. Like, it's amazing. The world, how fast it changes and just trying to keep up with it, man. Yeah.
Well, I mean, this has been fascinating. I love this conversation. It's really fun to kind of unpack some of the less sexy sides of this business, and this is perceived that way. But I mean, just talking to you, I mean, it's exciting, all the things that are possible. And I know there's a lot of people that are watching this live or going to be watching it or listening to it that are at that point right now where they've been exploring this. Maybe they've talked to a few. After listening to this, they should want to talk to you really bad. So what would a brand or company need to do to start that conversation with you?
Great question. Yeah. Hit us up on netrush.com. There's a contact us, a button right there. There's actually even going to be a dropdown if you specifically want to talk about 3PL and transportation and logistics. We've got a fantastic team here. You know, I love talking about it. They love talking about it. We make sure that it's a good opportunity for both of us. And like we said, we try to be as transparent and easy as possible with our solutions. We find that, you know, this is a relationship, man, and you gotta start it out right and making sure it's a good fit. So yeah, netrush.com. And there's, like I said, let's contact us. It's
and if you're on LinkedIn, definitely want to follow Brian. He's got a lot of good stuff on there. He shares and most recent article about BrightPick. Pretty cool stuff.
It's good stuff. It's good stuff.
Brian, thanks so much, man. This has been, it's really fun. Of course, we enjoy working with you and interacting with you all the time. And we're definitely going to make a trip out there to come see it. But I know everyone found a lot of value out of this conversation, and they should definitely go to netrush.com, hit you guys up, start the process of getting the conversation started. They can ask all the questions you just told them to ask.
That's right. That's right.
They'll come.
You'll be ready for them. Trust me.
They'll come prepared. 100%. Additionally, if you're listening right now and marketing, I mean, there's all these areas where, giving that to experts or finding ways to automate it. Solozo can do the same thing with your PPC. We've got an unbelievable team that can help strategize and craft your campaigns. We also have the Solozo platform itself is amazing for you to manage your own ads, get a lot of it automated and optimized. So we'd love to talk to you too. That's at solozo.com. You can book a demo with either Chris or myself, and we'll talk about anything, even 3PL if you want to. We'll talk about it. Then we'll send you Brian's way. But Brian, thanks so much for joining us. We really appreciate it. Thanks everybody for tuning in, and we'll be back at this next time. Have a great day, everybody.
Thanks all.